You know, it comes down to, for me, it all ties in with the greatest commandment. You know, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. And I think the life of a disciple, the spiritual growth process, is all about doing just that. Romans 12 addresses our mind, which is so crucial, and I'll read it. Romans 12. And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice. Let your body be a holy and living sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world. Let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. So when it comes down to brass tacks, as we were talking about here, it's so crucial that we put the truth, the Word of God, in our mind daily. Because what happens is, every other message from our culture speaks against the Word of God. Have it your way. Self magazine, all these crazy shows on TV don't point to Jesus. They all say it's going to be okay without Jesus. Even though if you watch the Waltons, they were good people, they did good things, and yeah, everyone was happy and they had harmony in their family. But you know what? They didn't even mention God. It gives us this illusion that we can actually have a good family without the blessings of God. So in that standpoint, I don't want nothing to do with that. The Waltons can lead people to hell. That's what I'm saying, because you're filling your mind with something that's outside of a context of your living God, without our Creator. And even times we fill our minds with things and fantasies and delusions that are outside of the context of Scripture, we're deluding ourselves. We're allowing that to suck us in into doing in your own way. But those people did it without Christ. Why should I? You know what I'm saying? That's why we need to not only be in the Word, we need to hang out with people that love Jesus. We need to submerge ourselves so that we can grow in faith and that we can take our minds off the temporal, off the whatever is temporary, and focus on heaven so that we have the big picture so that we can be on God's page. We can't be on God's page if we're not in His Word. And if we're bogged in the sitcoms and fantasy shows, I'm not saying I don't watch TV. I probably watch more TV than I should. But you know what? God's always telling me, you know, I'm grounded in His Scripture. One thing I do every day is read the Word of God. That's my testimony. It's on the website. It's on thebibleteam.com. My testimony is all about how God got me out of a very lukewarm, indifferent way of life, and He got me on fire for Him. So it really doesn't matter what I do. I'm always constantly reminded of what I'm learning in Scripture. And that keeps me grounded. And then I know this is fantasy. This is reality. I get pissed off. I get really ticked off at certain, you know, things that, you know, talk of the game as if this is the right way. But it's not the right way. Not if it's not rooted in Christ. It's an illusion to think we can have happiness without Jesus. Not true happiness anyway. It's fleeting happiness. So I'm ranting now, but we're going to close the call with a passage from 2 Peter 1. But before I get to that, I just want to say, if you don't get anything else from this call, to be a disciple, to stay rooted, to be remaining in Christ, we need to be in the Word every day. That's why I promote Bible reading plans, because I needed a Bible reading plan. There's some people that can just read the Bible every day, and they don't have a plan. God bless them. I don't know how they do it, but me, I need a plan. I've been following a plan ever since 2007. So then we need to be in prayer. We need to wrap Scripture with prayer. We need to say, God, please teach me how to read, because the organic, raw Word of God is not easily understood if you're not used to it. So we need to say, Lord, help me to understand. It's not easy. It doesn't come naturally, all right, because we're flesh. We're humans. Okay, then thirdly, and just as important, we need to surround ourselves with other like-minded believers that love God more than us. More than us or just as much as us. You know, you can't really measure that, right? but you surround yourself with these people on a regular basis. For some of us, it might be daily because we desperately need that leading. Someone has been down the journey longer than we have. This is true discipleship. When you have someone that can walk alongside you, help you to understand what you're reading, someone that loves Jesus, and you grow in that way. When you're that tender green shoot that is just coming to God for the first time, you don't know anything, right? The Bible's new to you, and it sounds all good, but you can hardly understand it because there's parables and there's stuff, and there's a lot of nuances, and there's just so much stuff to learn. But just know that if you're new to Jesus, you're like that new plant brought home from the nursery. You need to be planted. You need to be rooted, and you need to be guided. The Holy Spirit guides, but he uses people also to help us guide. That's why we have Monday night calls, to help people come and help understand. And it's not to dictate our faith on them. It's not to lord our faith over them. It's to help them grow, giving them a healthy environment so that they can read and study God's word and allow the Holy Spirit to work. We give these calls over to the Holy Spirit. It's not about us. It's not about Andy. It's not about Pastor John. It's not about myself. Thank you, Jack, for saying that earlier, because it's not about one person. And so that's a practical application of all of this, reading, prayer, and fellowship, three essential ingredients. God taught me this through a miraculous message, and I'm not even going to go into that. But he did it so clearly to me, and I have a great understanding of it now, you know, 8-9 years later. So this is where we need to be. This is the church. The church is the one that gathers and reads and brings all these ideas together and talks about how great and awesome our mighty God is. Before I get to 2 Peter and close this out, who wants to share anything from what they've heard this morning?
Well, one quick thing that in 1 Peter that I'll just back you up, 1:13-16 says, "For this reason, be prepared in your minds. Be self-controlled and be fully hoping in the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, do not conform yourselves to the former lusts as you did in your ignorance, but according as he who has called you is holy, you yourselves also be holy in all your conduct. For it is written, you be holy because I am holy." And that goes back to Peter is quoting from Leviticus 19, and I would suggest people actually look at that, because when you look at that, that's not like a, you know, kill this, kill that, kill this, kill that. Leviticus 19 is actually just showing you how to treat people with dignity and respect. So it's an interesting read if you look at that, if you have a spare time.
Jason, I love this. And I love you. I don't know you at all. We just met this morning, but I love you. And I'm telling you, if you know anything about football, and I just use this as an analogy, because I used to be addicted to football, but I'm no longer addicted. I have an interest, but I'm no longer addicted to football. But anyway, when you have a football team, and when everyone's using the same playbook, the football team can work like a fine machinery, right? A finely oiled machine, right? Where the timing of, you know, the pulling guards and the quarterback goes back and perfect timing when he throws the ball, and the receiver comes right under that ball. It's a beautiful thing if you have an interest in football. All I'm trying to say, it's clear to me, Jason, that you've been following the same playbook we've been following. You don't know us. I didn't pay you to come on here. You just know your message to me this morning is directly in line with what we've been talking about for years, because you've been reading the same book. You're uniting with us. And I love that, because you're reading the Holy Scriptures along with us. So I love how you feed the conversation with what the Holy Spirit's giving you to say. And you're giving these verses that are directly related to what the message is. So that's amazing to me. And it's like, you know, God gives us all the same playbook. We all need to be in the same playbook so that we can work together and be united. Thank you, Jason. Anyone else want to share?
I just wanted to say, Jason, from hearing you and listening to you, I love your heart also, because it's for Jesus.
Yeah, Thank you.
I'm going to join with Larry and Jack in the same way, and just I love what you said about repentance is a lifestyle, and just what Larry was just saying about we're all reading the same book. I think the conjunction with reading the same book is also having the same spirit. And I think, you know, as we continue in the last days, you know, our ears are being tuned in to hearing the Spirit of God through people, because you can hear the Word of God coming out of people, and you can hear the Spirit of God in people. And your ears begin to be able to discern when we hear, you know, things over the news and the media, when we hear maybe even from the pulpit, things that are maybe not of the Holy Spirit, then since our eyes and our hearts are in the Word of God, our ears are also in tune to the Spirit of God.
Amen. You know, Brooke, that's a perfect opportunity for me to share. I just want to take a few minutes, share a brief testimony about how I used to be addicted to baseball. I was addicted to the performance of the New York Yankees. So my happiness was based on their success. If the Yankees didn't do well, I was down in the dumps. I was bummed. And it's a 162-game season. I mean, it's a crazy addiction to have. And you all know those people that are addicted to certain sports teams, or sports in general. And certain people get depressed because football season's over. And that's kind of sad, right? So for me, I was on sky high when the Yankees were winning. When I was really, really down, I would get really upset if they weren't. I mean, it was so crazy. I remember looking online and checking the progress of the game. And the Yankees would be up, you know, 4-0 in the second inning. And I'd be like, woohoo! You know, I'd be like on seventh heaven, right? And I'd check in six innings later, and they'd be down, you know, 6-4. Like, oh, they lose that. How are they doing so poorly? And I'm like, it's craziness. I mean, imagine the ups and downs every day for 162 games. It's crazy. It's a crazy way to live. So here's what happened. This is what's exciting. So God got me reading His Word, and I started following His Spirit. I said, you know, those prayers early in 2007, I started saying, Father, please help me to know You more. Draw me close to You. It was intimate prayers. That was early in 2007, where I really started speaking to Him differently. I approached Him differently. He got a hold of me, right? I repented of my ways. And so April comes along, and spring training starts. So in my flesh, I start turning on ESPN, and I start following the progress of preseason, which is really ridiculous, because those games don't mean anything, right? So I start feeling myself having this anxiety about the Yankees again. And the Holy Spirit nudged me. He said, Larry, He said, I think you should distance yourself from baseball. Turn off the TV. He gave me these, you know, these nudges, and it was gentle. And that's what I did. I was obeyed. I was obedient. So I distanced myself. Thank God I did, because I'm no longer, my happiness is no longer tied to anything. And I still like to follow sports. I still have an interest, but I'm no longer guided by that. My happiness is no longer based in whether a team wins or loses anymore. So I just like to share that with people. And as the way, you know, the Bible didn't say, stop watching baseball. The Bible's not going to do that, right? It can't teach us that personally. It can't give us those kind of messages. And that's why, you know, we need to listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit so He can nudge you and say, hey, you should stop doing this. So it became a matter of conscience. And that's a Romans 14 issue. It's a disputable issue. Because there will be people out there saying baseball is not bad. Well, no, baseball is not bad. But if it dictates, if it dominates your mind, that's not a good thing. So that's where, you know, I let people be baseball fans. I don't tell them not to watch baseball. But I do tell them you can't afford to allow your mind to be dominated by these worldly things, because it's not conducive. Then all we do is talk about baseball and these Monday night calls. How good would that be? That would, like, lead us to nowhere, and no one will join me. except for maybe Andy. Because I know he likes baseball. But anyway, that's all I'm going to say about that. That's my testimony as far as following the Spirit, one instance of my life. Anyone else have anything to share before we close?
We could either do our will or God's will.
Jack?
We have a choice. We could either do our will or our Father's will.
Amen. And that's what it comes down to, doesn't it? And I think that choice is made every day. I think we should start every day with that commitment. And it takes a while to get to that point where you're getting in your knees right out of bed, or you can pray in bed, however that works out for you. But to me, I'm convicted for myself that I need to come to God every morning and say, God, this day is for you. I live for you. I am your servant. You're my Lord. I want to please you. Please help me. Help me live today. Because I can't do it on my own. I've done it on my own far too long, and we give it to him. So to me, that's another, you know, thing we need to be doing. And people learn that. People learn. Go ahead.
Oh, okay. Sorry. There's also that scripture. I think it's in maybe 1 Peter, but it says, don't make provision for the flesh to walk on the lust thereof. It's one thing to enjoy certain things that aren't going to go on to eternity, that aren't sin, but the problem comes is when we plan our day around it, because even though we don't set out to do it, that becomes our heart, and this is what you were probably saying regarding the testimony you gave. So if it's something that God may say, I'm going to allow you a small dose of this, it can be something that's fun, and then when it's over, because it wasn't something that you made provision for, and therefore not something you felt that you have an entitlement to get, you're able to handle small doses of worldly happiness without it becoming an idol. So I think not making provision for the flesh is a very practical hint that the scripture offers.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. And because of my interest in baseball and sports, I can talk to people on common ground, and I can use that as a testimony when I share that, because God's used that in me. So the interest can, you know, Paul says he wants to be all things to all people, and I think, you know, when he was a Gentile, he did a certain thing. When he was a Jew, he did a different thing. And I think we can adapt to that as we grow in maturity, of course.
I believe that balance in all things, that all things, as Paul says, are technically lawful for me, but they're not all good for me.
Amen.
And if God has become my God, that's the thing that's going to determine my life, whether I'm happy, not happy. If I were to go out and talk with friends, that's what we are going to discuss and get into a big argument over. Then, yeah, we've got a problem. Just watch here in my home, watch the Padres play? No, because that's not my God. If I'm going to talk to anybody, more than likely will be in some form of Christianity, something about Jesus, whether I'm in church on Sunday night, doing chat rooms during the week, whatever. 99% of the time will be on some form of Christ and applying Christian principles to our lives. And it also means that this walk is between myself and God. It's not because God says you can't drink, I got to go out and tell everybody else it's wrong for them to drink. Or because God gives me a conviction of something else, that then automatically becomes a law for everybody else. God is speaking to me. He has a reason for me not doing it and giving it up. Does not necessarily mean that that's a reason for everybody else to give it up. And so we have to realize, okay, this is an individual call, and to follow the call that God has given each of us individually. And if we do that, then we'll all make it to where God is calling us and taking us to.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Pastor John. Thank you, everybody, for your participation. Anything else that needs to be said before we close?
I thought this was a really good call.
Thank you, Brooke. I appreciate that.
And
I agree.
Peter Peter 1 or something, or am I?
Yeah, I want to read from 2 Peter 1, and I want to read that. And Andy, if you could close us in prayer, I'd greatly appreciate it.
Oh, sure.
Okay, so I'm going to read from 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 11. By his divine power, God has given us everything we need for living a godly life. We have received all of this by coming to know him, the one who called us to himself by means of his marvelous glory and excellence. And because of his glory and excellence, he has given us great and precious promises. These are the promises that enable you to share his divine nature and escape the world's corruption caused by human desires. In view of all this, make every effort to respond to God's promises. Supplement your faith with a generous provision of moral excellence, and moral excellence with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with patient endurance, and patient endurance with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love for everyone. The more you grow like this, the more productive and useful you will be in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But those who fail to develop in this way are short-sighted or blind, forgetting that they have been cleansed from their old sins. So, dear brothers and sisters, work hard to prove that you are really among those God has called and chosen. Do these things, and you will never fall away. Then God will give you a grand entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.